Hey everyone, before we get started, if you've got a second, Tess and I would really appreciate it if you could hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. It makes a big difference for us as we're developing this podcast, and it just lets you know when our new episodes are released. Thank you. Kia ora and welcome to the You've Got This podcast with Zazie and Tess. Tess and I are speech and language therapists with a combined 18 years working in the field with children and their whānau, so we know a thing or two about what makes them tick.
We want to empower you to know exactly what you can do to support your child's development. We're going to be touching on all of the important topics that you want to hear about, from speech and language development to managing tricky behaviours or supporting your little one to transition to school.
You can even request episodes that you want to hear more on. Just head to our Instagram at You've Got This Podcast. We'd absolutely love your support over on Patreon. Head to You've Got This, where we'll be offering extra episodes and unique resources that we've created to support you on your journey.
We like to have a bit of a laugh and keep it real, so thanks for listening. We're over the moon to have you along for the ride.
I'm just having a mental breakdown. I cannot bear it when the tech doesn't go right.
It's fine. Well, it's going to be like this every time, I think. So we're just going to have to get used to it. It's one of those things. Aside from the tech, tell me about your week. You have been locked up with COVID.
It has actually been hectic, to be fair. I mean, it's hard because it's not that I wouldn't want John to go away. John lost a family member. He went back to England and I wanted him to do that. But it doesn't mean that every second that I wasn't like, oh my God, I wish you were here. Oh my gosh, I wish you were here to support. I felt like I kind of went into you'll have a good word for this, like a hyper focus of over control of everything because I was anxious and on my own.
Yeah, yeah. It's very ADHD as well, like need for rigidity and routine and like getting everything in their place because, yeah, you're needing to create control where there is none.
Yeah, and instead of like being comfortable with a messy house, which I'm always comfortable with, I just found myself like every spare minute being like, I'll get that laundry on. And there was never a pile of laundry. It was like, I've done it and I've put all the dishes away and the kitchen's immaculate and all the toys are put away. And
insane.
Every evening I was ferreting about, like this crazy person because it was me doing all the jobs and I felt like I had to get them all done to be succeeding and to feel comfortable. It was really strange.
Makes you feel for single parents, eh? Ones who are doing that all the time.
I don't know what I need to do to like honor them. I don't, if I could give everyone medals, I would, especially for parents of more than one child, because you just don't realize until you have more than one child how much it really fucks you up.
It's, I mean, you're outnumbered. Like, I don't understand any families who have more than two children as a whole.
No, they're miracle people. And also, I don't have the type of children that will sit and quietly color in for ages or that are shy in front of strangers. My children bounce off the walls and they just have all of the energy. And I just feel like I'm constantly a referee because they'll be playing wonderfully together. And then the tides will just turn and Etta's in this space. She's 2.5 now where she'll just hit out. She's just like, no, okay, I don't want to do that, just to test what he'll do. She's like
poking the bear,
sneakily, giddily, absolutely poking the bear. She'll just like bash him and then run away just to see him kind of turn into the Hulk and be angry, and then I'm stepping in at speed. Like, you never see me move as fast as when that happens, preventing there from being a full-on fight. But it just means you've got to constantly be present, you've got to constantly be listening.
So because your capacity's been a little bit low, your battery's probably been a bit low, have you found that you've been able to continue with your parenting style? What do you call it? Soft parenting? Gentle parenting?
Just gentle parenting, respectful parenting. Yeah, I think I had to dial it up for the most part because I knew that there'd been a huge shift for the kids in their routine and their, you know, what is normal for them, because I'm really lucky that John is home all the time. He works in our business and we share everything, but the kids, I mean, they adore him and he does most of the morning routine. Like, I make the lunch boxes. He does all of the getting ready and normally putting their breakfast out and the teeth brushing. And
wow.
And he's just so fun. He's so fun and playful and he just does all that stuff and they fall into line and they blum and love it. And then it's, you know, the change to me doing everything.
The witches on morning routine.
It was like, honestly, my parenting cannot live up to John's. He's just so kind and calm and playful, and I was trying to be that parent, but kids know when you're not feeling totally in control or feeling like you haven't got it, and I didn't have it. So I did things like when I went into preschool, I let them know the whole situation and what was going on, and they were excellent. Like, they know how much a big shift can change a kid, and I said, this is what's going on for my kids at home, we can expect that.
Yeah,
they might be a bit more dysregulated, they might be a bit more upset. I guess what really fell off for me was that with one person there's less time. There was way more TV time. It just felt like my TV was just like on, which doesn't ever make you feel good. It was just like, don't fight so I can actually make you some food to consume.
You were just meeting the basics. Feeding them, sleeping them, changing them, getting them to the places they need to be.
And then, as I said, I think we all got COVID. We don't have any tests anymore, so I don't know. But the whole family, including my parents and my brothers and sister-in-law, all just came down with something. There was a day where Augie couldn't walk because he had virusy, unwalkable legs. I don't know. I had to carry him everywhere.
How stressful for you.
Yeah, it was just a bit of everything. I was outwardly trying to be overly calm and understand that they had a big change going on, but it doesn't mean that it always added up to that or that that's always how it came across to my kids. I know that I was, in some instances, harsher and didn't have the patience that I would normally have for the situation. And I'm lucky in that normally if one of us feels that we're getting dysregulated, John and I will tap out.
Yeah.
And we play this game. I mean, we've never actually talked about this, but I call it like good cop, good cop. So if our kids are dysregulated and being like really testing and we are dysregulated, then one of us taps out. And instead of the next person coming in like the bad guy to fix the situation, the other person comes in as like the good cop. It's let me help you. And is the calmer one who's not been in the situation before. And it's like a reset as opposed to, I think the olden days ways of thinking about it is like, wait till your dad comes home and then dad comes in angry to make the thing happen. And instead of that, it's dad comes in and is really calm, or mom comes in and is really calm, and there was no one to do that. So I was just the bad cop, I think.
Yeah, that probably doesn't make you feel very good either. So I guess this pod maybe can be about when things go wrong, really. I think that on your social media, it does look like your life's very well together all of the time. You're usually very honest that what they see online isn't what it always is. But, you know, you're very educated around supporting children. You have understanding of your own regulation needs, but at times that's not enough to be that calm parent.
No, and if you're not able to keep yourself regulated, then it's all that, you know, if you're not to be able to be someone else's calm.
Yeah.
You can't be someone else's calm if you're not calm. And it really came to a head the other night when, it's so awful to admit this. So Augie was really struggling and I was saying that we have to go in the shower. And he was saying, I don't want to go in the shower. And on reflection, he gave me an in. I was like, we need to get clean, Augie, because he was complaining of his skin being sore as well. And I said, well, you know, you haven't actually been in the shower for 2 days. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he was like, I just want to get clean with the flannel, which was such a valid thing for him to say. Like, he knew what he needed and he told me and I didn't listen. And I said, I can't do that tonight. We need to go in the shower. And I just, I don't know what it is. I just felt, listen. I almost felt that the pressure that wasn't there, that physically wasn't there from other people's opinions or family opinions or what my family would have done in those situations. But I was just like, I'm going to help you go in the shower. So I very kindly, but made it happen, held him. And we went in the shower, like semi together. And he was so upset. He was so dysregulated and he was shouting. And I was like, as soon as I went in there with him, I was like, I've done the wrong thing.
Wrong thing.
This is the wrong thing, but we're already here. We are already here. I forced you into a situation that I can see that you're petrified about. And he was saying, I don't like water. I'm scared of water. And I know he's just not. But
in that moment, he felt unsure. He was afraid of whatever reason, because he probably didn't have autonomy.
Yeah. It was like I dragged him into a haunted house. He was petrified. He was really, really upset. And it was the wrong thing as soon as I did it. And I was like, well, I'm in here now and I'm going to give him a quick wash down. It was like 30 seconds all up. But I had so much regret about it. And on reflection, if the aim was to get him clean, he told me I can get clean with a flannel. That's what I should have done. But I was like, oh, I'm not going to let him, you know, almost like get his own way or whatever. I don't know why I was thinking in that moment.
It's like that need for control again, isn't it? That you were talking about, like you had your own agenda. Yeah. You had your plan and you didn't have the flexibility in that moment to listen and be flexible. Yeah, interesting.
No, you know, I give my kids so much autonomy and trust that they know their bodies and what they need to do. And that just like fell off for me. I just felt terrible about it. But I think his nervous system was so dysregulated and such a mess that it must have just felt awful. Even just the idea would have felt scary.
Yeah.
And physically, I think the feeling of water, like all the sensory needs.
So you're saying his stresses were so high at that time because there was changes in routine. Dad wasn't home. He wasn't feeling listened to. Maybe he knew there wasn't dad to come in to change the face if he's used to having you bubble, and then knowing that daddy can come in and he's the new friendly one, and then knew that backup wasn't there. It's kind of like an unfamiliar situation for August. He doesn't actually know how it's going to end because he's never been in that situation where he's been just with with you. So bless him. Scary. Doesn't need to be scared, but you know, the nervous system does crazy things. It works to protect us. And if he perceived that he was in danger, and then that's what his body was telling him, even though he definitely wasn't. He was completely safe. He was just having a shower. But when the nervous system is in overdrive, we call it like your limbic system switched on, you can't negotiate. You can't use language. You can't use your frontal cortex of your brain. Like, none of that processing's working. You're just in fight and flight. And he was in flight. He was trying to run.
He really was. And I was trying to use logic. I was like, you do like water. You know, I knew everything I was saying was useless.
Yeah.
But I was still saying it. You love water. We go in the water, the swim. We go at the shower, at the pool. Like, it was just all stupid stuff. You know, John came home the evening after that. I was like, we're going to go in the shower, August. And he was like, yep. And he ran in the shower with me. And we showered for like 45 minutes together. And we played scientists. And we had syringes and a bit of food coloring. And we pretended that we were taking samples. And then I picked him up and I cuddled him and we rocked. And it was like, it was healing for both of us, I think, because it was just like the dream. And you know, your whole being wants to be like, see, you like the shower. And I didn't
mention anything.
I bloody told it. We just had this wonderful, warm, cuddly time together. We came out, we wrapped in towels and we cuddled. So it was incredibly repairing for both of us.
Yeah.
Because the mum guilt, it's every day. Even if you were a perfect parent all day, there's still guilt that there's something you haven't done or that couldn't have been better. So I have been riddled with it, and I felt like that made me feel better. We had a great time together. It was lovely one-on-one time.
I think you highlighted something really important we've actually not really spoken about before, is the repair and recovery in a stress cycle. It's so key. It doesn't have to be through language. It doesn't have to be through reflection. It doesn't have to be like, so when I did this, I'm sorry I did this, because that could stress Augie out more if you were like, well, last time we were in the shower, this happened. Mm-hmm. But you're just sort of spending that time to make that scenario safer for him for next time.
If there's safe places to do that, it really does, you know, reflect on your child's behavior. Like, there was at least one time that I said to both children, I mean, Etta doesn't understand as much, but I said, gosh, we all got a little bit upset in that situation. I'm really sorry. I wasn't as calm as I should have been.
Amazing.
And we all felt frustrated and upset, didn't we? And then the next day, Augie said to me, he just turned to me, and we'd had a stressful morning, and he turned to me, he was like, I'm sorry, Mummy. And I was like, oh, son, what are you sorry for? And he was just like, this morning. I'm sorry for this morning. And I was like, that's okay, son. Thank you so much for saying sorry. We were all feeling X, Y, Z. And we just talked it through. But I was amazing. Like, wow, that was really reflective of him in that moment. And that would only come from me modeling
it.
Apologies for my behavior.
I love that you're labeling for yourself, like how you're feeling, because he'll learn to develop words for how he's feeling through the modeling of you. So that's a really nice strategy you've highlighted.
I definitely was feeling stressed, and I definitely was feeling angry, and I definitely was being really open and honest about it. And I mean, my fail-safe strategy for that is we just go outside. We just go outside. There were so many times where I was like, if in doubt, get out. I'm like, we get outside. Even if it's just I open the back door and we all stand in the garden.
Ground, like, right, breathe, yoga.
Do you want to play catch me? Yeah, like run around in circles, chase me. Or we've got one of those like pull along trailer wagon things at the moment. I'm like, everyone hop in. I don't care how dressed anyone is, there's no shoes, no socks, no nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all going for a walk. Super regulating for me, super regulating for the kids, just to be out in fresh air and
nice
doing whatever. There was
change
one day where I was, we'll go to the park, and I honestly, we bumped into a friend, and she can attest to this, my kids whinged and cried, being, I don't want to go to that park. Which park are we going to? I don't like it. Like, I could have been rocking in a corner. It was so intense. And they, in reflection, they were getting unwell. So I was just sort of saying, I understand, we're going to go to a park.
They're like, I'm cold, I'm hot. You're like, no, you're not. And I was like, actually, they had a fever. Oops.
It was everything. And we had a good time in the end. But my friend who bumped into us probably regretted doing so, because she would have been like, what is wrong with these children?
Well, I'm glad that you survived it. I'm really happy to hear John's home. I hope he's doing okay as well. Give my love to him.
Yeah. John is home. I think we're going to take an impromptu and spontaneous trip to Hanmer this weekend. Asked John to book one night away, because we had to miss our holiday because of John going back to the UK. We were going to go to Nelson for a week.
Yeah.
That's our first like family holiday, and it all had to be cancelled. So we're going to have one night away, two full days in the Hanmer hot pools, and take all the inflatables we bought for this holiday and just splash about in the last few days of
one
summer.
Of our recent podcasts talks about you going to Hanmer, but that was actually in fact last year. We just had to reuse a bit of old content. Because our tech, my tech skills are lacking, and I lost one of our recordings.
love that for us. Never mind. Thank you so much for being along for the ride. Just remember that you've got this, even when you don't got this. We all have moments like that, but we have in fact got this. So thank you so much for listening.
Be kind to yourself. Be kind to your kids. That's all I've got to say.
Just do it.
Just do it. Just raise the children. Therapize the children. It's all good.
Cucky day, everyone.
Bye.